Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a vast universe and creation that nobody can imagine and understand the amount and forms and array of creation that Allah ta'ala has made. Where the creation is, how much is the creation that Allah ta'ala has made, and where is it dispersed? Nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a timely fashion, in a timely manner, Allah ta'ala has removed the veils on these points, and the way that, along with generations and time, research and development, etc., has taken place, and an analysis has taken place. And when people research and analyze, such points have emanated and come to light that our minds and intellects, they get shocked and surprised when they realize new facts. It has been realized that a place within which 18,000 different species of plants are present. So imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's universe, Rabbu samawati wal ard. But all of the makhluk and the creation that Allah ta'ala has made, from all of the different forms of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers and has given the rank and superiority to insan, human being. And on the creation of man, Allah ta'ala created man in a unique way. As Allah ta'ala said in the Quran, Ahsani taqawim. Ahsani taqawim. That all of the different forms of creation that have come, and all of the generations and the ages, and Allah ta'ala says that this is the Ahsani taqawim. It's the khaliq, it's creation, is the best. And the human being is the superior form of creation. Allah ta'ala says that as much as we can praise and discuss this creation of mankind, we still cannot understand it. And Allah ta'ala has given the status to human beings from the whole, within the whole of the universe. Why? So that today, but if we look at it in reality, the human being has forgotten his objective. In many places in the Quran reminds us that who are we? We are insan, we are human beings, we have a high maqam, a high status. Allah Ta'ala says, you don't know how close you are to me, what status I've given to you, your rutbah. I've sent you onto the earth as my khalifa and give you understanding and wisdom and intellect, that you are high in status, high in status. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given capacity and qualities to the human being. That Allah ta'ala has given the brain. Just take the brain of the human being. Science explains to us that until now, we've only utilized 10% of the capacity of the brain. That we see all of the construction and the establishment in the world, and what will occur also in the future if we include that only 10% of the human being's brain has been utilized. And if we were to use the whole of our brain, then imagine what we could achieve. So Ahsani Taqawim is the creation of the human being. Allah Ta'ala has put many qualities and increased capacity in the human being. And then Allah Ta'ala gave a khas, special attributes to the human being. And those who have believed and recognized their Lord. Believed in and recognized their Lord. Those people have been given a more extra and additional and special rank and status. Allah has given them a khas, special status and rank and recognition. And those people from within the generations who believed, their daraja, their status, some of them Allah gave them the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and some of them were given the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and some of them believed in the Rabb of Lut alayhi salam, some believed in the Rabb of Yunus alayhi salam, some believed in the Rabb of Musa alayhi salam, some believed in the Rabb of Harun alayhi salam, and some believed in the Rabb of Isa alayhi salam. So everybody had different status and rank, but the most special and select and unique human being who has been created is he who has believed in the Rabb of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We are within that group of people, those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the rank of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, we recognize the Rabb of La ilaha illallah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala said that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the head, the leader of all of the ummas. His status is unique and the highest, and the capacity of the ummah Muslimin is greatest, and their darajat and their rank and status is the highest, and nobody can reach to this status. Whoever has believed in Allah in this way, via La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gets the highest status from all of the human beings. So brothers, this is our reality. This is our scenario. Imagine the capacity within the ummah. Just think for a few moments. Think that maqam, that status that Allah Ta'ala has kept and given to us, all of our capabilities today, we put veils on them. It's become like blind and useless and a waste. That in the occupation of materialism and temporary gain and comfort in the dunya, we have forgotten all of our capabilities and our objective. Look, if we look at the situation here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's link with this ummah, what is it? Allah ta'ala has a special link with this ummah, very special link, that Allah ta'ala has created the human being, and that human being who believes in Allah is the Rabb, and via the belief of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final and greatest Nabi of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala says, I have a great attachment with that human being, qurb, and the nearness with that human being who believes in Allah and believes in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To this extent, how can we understand this? There's a hadith, Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri kulli. Think for a moment, him. What is this? What do you ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That you are very great indeed, O human being who believes in Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't even know what you should ask from Allah. You don't even know. You're asking for temporary things in this world, for the assets of this world, and we think that we are satisfied. Rather, the cure and the objective is greater than that. It is stated that our scenario is such, our status is such, min kulli khair, that Allah, give me what? Min kulli khair, the all of the khair and the goodness that there can be. Who is asking for this? The ummah, the believers, me, you, others. Allahumma inni as'aluka min kulli khair, that Allah, give me all of the kulli, all of it combined together, all the goodness and the benefits that are there. Where? Allahu Akbar. Where are they? All of the khair and the goodness Allah give to me, that through which the treasure, biyadika, is in your hand, in your control. The treasures of the goodness and the khair, which are in your control, in your hands. The mu'min, the believer, when he asks this from Allah, then Allah Ta'ala says, I've given to you, but we don't have yaqeen. We think, oh no, we can't get this. Where can I get this from? I can't even get bread. Chapati. What? And then we just wipe our hands on our face and leave. How sad, how shameful for us. Let's look inside ourselves, that between me and Allah, the link, the relationship, which is there, is that Allah Ta'ala says, all of the treasures and the khair and the barakah, the treasures of the khair and barakah. Can we imagine Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that the treasures, the khazano biyadika, that whatever is in the control of Allah, all of the treasures Allah give to me. Allah says, I have promised myself in the Quran, ad'uni astajib lakum, that when my servant calls out to me, I will give to him straight away. Straight away I will give. Immediately. Now we need to see here that we are this ummah, those same people. The same people. What do we ask from Allah in comparison to this hadith of Rasulullah? What do we ask for and what do we attain? And what is the reason? The reason. What can be the reason that we have diminished ourselves? We have reduced the rank, our own sort of height and status. Because we have ended, you can say, and weakened our relationship with Allah. We are so far from Allah. We are so far that we don't even ask what we should ask for. And nor does Allah give what we need, because we don't even ask. We have cut off the relationship. we have reduced the strength of the relationship. For example, if you go in the dunya to ask somebody for something, then we will ask that person according to our link with that person and the status of that person, isn't it? So you'll ask yourself first that how strong is our bond and relationship? And if you think, oh look, I don't have any link with this person, no relationship with this person, so I'll ask somebody else to ask for me. Or if I've broken the relationship, I'll say, well, I'm ashamed of asking from this person. Can you give me a reference or influence the decision so that he can assist me and give me something? Isn't it? Without a link, a relationship with a person in the world, we will never ask a person for something, that person. So in reality, that's our situation. Allah Ta'ala has given us status, capacity, that you are very close to your Rabb, so close that even if you ask from me these things, Allah says, I'll give you everything from my treasure chest. And aren't there people present in the world who we call the awliya Allah, the pious people, the good people? We read their events. Look. So what do we ask? Oh well, we don't even know what we ask for. That, for example, if the creation in front of the creation said, oh, it's hot, or do dua that the rain comes, it's hot, then those clouds, they stop, don't they? But we see that we don't even implement this. Oh, as there's no water, please do something. So, and then blow on the water and the fountains gush forth. So this is the dua. This is dua. So they have the salahiyat, they have the capacity, relationship with Allah. Their relationship with Allah is very strong indeed. They've understood their capacity and their quality. They've not wasted this. And what do? We have diminished ourselves, we've sort of lowered ourselves. We think our life is just running around and earning the bread and asking for food and for assets from Allah. Which is like a dog. A dog's life, that all our objective is just to get the food from the master. When we cry, when we laugh, when there's happiness, when there's sadness, when there's loss. Even salah, we pray and do our wazifa and dhikr. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka. We remember that time. Dhikr, we only remember at that time. All of the things we remember at that time. At that time only. When? We really don't need to do these things for life in the world. And we only ask from Allah when we're stuck in the world. When we're desperate for something in the world. When we want to attain something for the dunya. Allah says, are these the things to ask for me? Allah says, ask me for all of those things that are all of the treasures that are in my control. Allah says, recognize your status. What is it that you're asking from me? You've reduced your status in your own eyes. You've lowered yourself. Now think here for a few moments that how far in reality we are from our Khaliq and our Malik in comparison to our status and the capabilities Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Look, for example, in life, to live the life in this world, what is the link that we have with Allah nowadays? What is the link that we have lowered ourselves to? For example, when the human being is born, we are worried that how will he eat? Where will he eat from? When the child grows up a bit and he starts to eat and drink and he's capable of working or doing things, we put the child towards working the dunya. That you need to work, and then we work 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years old. Then the government gives a response that, okay, that's it, time's up now. You're a bit old and you're a bit weak. We say something, you don't understand, you're not fast, and you wear glasses and three lenses and your hands tremble. Okay, you're retired. And when that man retires, he comes home, he sits at home, and he takes the bed, he takes the mattress. And the children, they all disperse. They are busy in their wives and their children's. And their story resumes the same story as his when he was 30, 40 years younger. Then his condition is bad, his health, and he's got the musalla, jai namaz, he's doing tasbih, doesn't even know what he's praying in salah. And he's now looking to create a connection with his Rabb. 90% of our ummah, rather 99%, consider that this is our life and this is our connection with Allah. The whole life, the moments, the generations, the breaths, all of the understanding, the awareness, the youthful life. Imagine, subhanAllah, what Allah has given the youthful life for ibadah, for tawaf, for umrah, for hajj. And what beautiful enjoyment and taste and all of the qualities Allah has given for ibadah, and we wasted all of that for money, for mal, for counting, for sleeping, for wasting time, for useless talk, for futile actions, for dunya, for world. And how quickly all of these things, and just like a dream, a mirage, when a person becomes old, he's lying down and he's waiting, when is my turn going to come? People are coming and going. Then he grabs the tasbih, sits on the prayer mat, and thinks, oh yeah, I've struck the bullseye, I pray Fajr in the morning and I do this. Who asks at that time? Who really cares? Who really cares at that time? So Allah Ta'ala says that he has suppressed and sacrificed all of his qualities and capabilities of his life. Allah Ta'ala gave him a high maqam, high status, ma'arifa, irfan, the nearness of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, the ilm of Allah, the darajat, the status. He could have gone to high, high maqams to attain Allah's nearness, and he suppressed and crushed, stamped on all of his capabilities, wasted his time or her time. We made just one objective: bank balance, money, mal, wealth, a shop, and business, and this is what I need. And we don't go anywhere beyond these thoughts and ambitions and aspirations. We don't go anywhere beyond this. And when Allah Ta'ala says, you have a great connection with me, a great and deep connection, if we were to understand that Allah Ta'ala has given us a great maqam and a status, and it's important for us to justify this, so we should implement the relationship that we have with Allah. So the main objective of what I'm trying to say, that all of the individuals, wherever you are listening, that whichever a turn of life you're living in, open your eyes, look towards your grave, seek time. Time has been wasted. How much time has gone? Because even now, if Allah Ta'ala wants to test, He can test. Even now, stand and ask on the prayer mat, ask from Allah and see what you get. I swear by Allah on this prayer mat, that if a person comes forth who awakens his capacity, capability, and he asks on the prayer mat that Allah, I want the grapes of paradise, Allah will send those grapes of paradise. Allah will send. I swear by Allah, and I tell you this point. It could happen. It could happen. If we have that yaqeen, if we get this strength spiritually, first thing, what do we ask? Allah, please correct my business, increase my turnover, my child, please make him capable so that he can run my business, because I've got a lot of debts. In other words, if we were to be given the status of recognition and our du'as to be accepted, we'd still ask for dunya. That's how bad we are. Imagine how dirty and impure people we are. I swear by Allah, that how the stench must emanate from within us, and the angels must smell this, that the human being who has the capability, that if he sits on the prayer mat and asks Allah for the fruits of paradise, Allah will give him the fruits of paradise there and then. This is the strong and excellent relationship. Why? Because La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We are those who recite this kalima. We should believe in this. We say Rabbi, we call out to Allah, not Rabbi Isa, not Rabbi Musa. We've recited the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the Nabis have said that we desire to be included in this Ummah of the Muslims, the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But what is our situation today? What is our condition today? Just running after temporary things, material things. We run after ma'adiyat, materialism, dunya, money. And those people who have material, more material, we run after them more. We imitate them more. Is this a life, my friends? How people are coming and how they're running to their graves. How people are retiring to the graves. And we're so satisfied in running after dunya. I swear by Allah, we are lost. And there's a dua. Look at this dua. That this is your maqam, O Muslim. That this is what you should ask for from Allah. Allahumma inni asulka min kulli khayr biyadi. That Allah, you have everything in your control. Please give to me. And imagine all the treasures of Jannah, paradise, akhirah. What can we become? What can we make ourselves? We could become so rich and wealthy and well off. Do you understand, brothers, what I'm saying? Yeah, so should we live such a good life like this, fulsome life? We should understand our destination, our journey. Where are we going? Look, for these points that I'm communicating with you, alhamdulillah, I'm speaking with a khas jamaat, with khas women, special men, special people. Yeah? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a great ni'mah. You can understand this, that you, mashallah, and me, Allah has given us a great ni'mah. That is dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah, the biggest ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed on us. He's given us iman. He's included us in the ummah. He's given us iman. And the iman of the last ummah, the final ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Alhamdulillah. And after that, mercy upon mercy. We were impure, dirty. Allah took us out of the impurity and gave us dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah. That our jama'ah is few and maybe not much, but what a great reward Allah has given to us, and we cannot imagine this ni'mah. And this thing that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that's why I'm speaking like this today, and why my subject is this today. If I stand in the street today and speak to someone, he won't realize what I'm saying. If I speak in the masjid, they'll think, what's he talking about? What masla is he creating? What issue is he trying to touch? But these points that I'm making are probably touching your heart for a little bit, because the reason for this is that you do dhikr of Allah. You remember Allah. If I speak عام, normal, common people, they won't understand what I'm saying, won't realize. And if somebody is sleeping and isn't aware of what is the deen, who is the rabbi, will say, what is he talking about? I don't understand what he's saying. But that person, who these points, they affect his heart or her heart, and they're doing this at this moment in time. The reason for this is because that person is a dhakir, remembers Allah. Why? Because these points I've just made to you, the initiation of this is dhikr and the end is dhikr. Subhanallah. The start point is dhikr and the end point is dhikr. That's why I'm saying to you that look here, listen to me here carefully. We, Allah Ta'ala has given us iman and He's put us onto the journey. Onto what? Onto the journey. And the dhikr of Allah is what? It is not the destination. It is not the objective. The dhikr of Allah, don't think that dhikr of Allah, we have achieved our destination. We've got to our destination. No, Allah Ta'ala's karam is that we were astray, we were off the motorway, off the main road. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gave us His fadl, His karam, and millions of times over, Allah selected us from millions of people, billions, and He selected us and put us onto that platform. But even now, I will say this to you. Even today, we have a chance today, my brothers and sisters who do dhikr, that if we want today and desire today, then we can create that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is impossible. Allah Ta'ala says Himself that I've given you a formulation, a framework. I made you in this way, and for this reason, I've given you all of the capacity that you need, the capabilities that you need, the skills that you need. And Allah says that you are utilizing your skills and capabilities at this moment in time for the wrong end. And Allah Ta'ala says the real reason why I gave you capability is that for to do dhikr. And me, you, all of us here, we should have irfan and marifa and nainis to Allah. That every moment, every time, we should see that we are with Allah. We are connected with Allah. We are associated with Allah. And who told us this? We have got iman in the final prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The seal of the prophets. We are his ummati. Imagine the status of Rasulullah sallam. And he's taken us, our hands in his hand, and given us assistance. We are his colleagues. And in this dunya, we are wasting that association. And on the day of judgment and on the day of Hashr, we will be stood in the group, in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how sad that, for example, we are made, for example, a special minister of a king. Yeah? Of a king, a special select minister of a king. And we don't uphold the right of this. Nobody listens to us. Nobody accepts who we are. And nobody understands and wants to know who we are and listens to our guidance. The people below us, they take the high status. The higher status. They say, what a foolish minister. He's the minister, special minister of the king. And nobody listens to him. Nobody respects him. Nobody takes him seriously or her seriously. Look, we have a connection with who? Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our hal is that we are worse than the other ummas. Other ummas, look, we follow different methodology. We follow different methodology. Allah Ta'ala has given us karam. That's why I'm saying this, that you will understand what I'm saying. I'm not giving a speech. That Allah Ta'ala has given us fadl, that He's put us onto the motorway and we're doing dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah automatically. Has it come automatically? Allah Ta'ala, His karam and His mercy, that He has instilled into our lives the dhikr of Allah. And we are on that motorway, on that straight path. But in reality, we've not understood and realized that what is the maqsad that Allah Ta'ala has given us dhikr? What is the objective of dhikr? What is the objective? What is the objective? This is the objective of dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, why? Because our relationship with Allah Ta'ala has reduced, has diminished. We know this. You know your condition. I know my condition. You know your condition. If we look into our hearts and we bow down in humility, we'll ask ourselves, what is the link? What is my connection and relationship with Allah? What is our standard? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity. He's given us that thing through which we can create and strengthen the relationship with Allah. The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, this is it. What does it do? It strengthens the relationship with Allah. It is a path that keeps us on the straight and narrow. It is not the destination. It is not our supreme objective. And if before dying, we don't understand and follow this path and implement the dhikr of Allah, we just say, oh, it's just dhikr, it's thawab, it's reward. And the people of the world just think with that, and we don't understand the objective of this action, then we are very, very and extremely unfortunate people. That not for a second should we be satisfied. That Allah, you gave us a shaykh, a great Naqshbandi silsala. You gave us dhikr, your remembrance. Why did you make us do your dhikr, Allah? Do we ever ask this? Do we ever realize this? That me and everyone else, those who do dhikr, is there a difference between me and those who don't do dhikr? There should be, shouldn't there? Tell me, that one rutbah, status that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that Allah Ta'ala, the King, the Supreme King of Kings, gives us the for example, the rank of a minister, of a big minister, the biggest minister, and a person who's many levels below, who just allots the land and he's an accountant, and they'll say, look, you had such a high position, oh minister, and you lost out, you didn't even benefit, and I've got bet more than you. And Allah says, I selected you, made you a pearl, gave you the path, gave you the dhikr of Allah, took you out of the impurities, gave you a silsala, and sent you the haq, let the haq descend into your heart, and gave you dhikr, and the haq of dhikr. And what did you understand from this? What did you do with this? What did you achieve with this? It's something to think about, isn't it? So let's understand that dhikr isn't just restraint here, that we just do dhikr, that's the end of it. We should not be satisfied and content until and unless we create that relationship with Allah. If we're not creating that relationship with Allah, the strength of the relationship, that is within the boundary of the capability that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. The strength of the relationship we should make with Allah. We need to revive our capabilities, our awareness, with abundance dhikr of Allah, and especially maraqabat, remembering Allah in the heart silently. This is a great ni'mah of Allah to make the connection with Allah strong and extremely strong. So dhikr is a path. And what is the manzil, the destination? How do we realize that we are close to our manzil, our destination? What is the manzil? Ati Allah wa ati Rasul. So dhikr is the means. Remembrance of Allah is the means, is the action that will take us to Ati Allah wa Ati Rasul. So when we start to listen to Allah's orders, and our lifestyle is in conformity with Allah's orders, when we have respect for halal and haram, lawful and lawful, we become content with what Allah has given to us, what Allah has not given to us, and we have tawakkal Allah, we trust in Allah, and our ma'amalat, our foundation and actions of life is totally according to Allah Ta'ala's framework, Allah will say, yes, now you follow my orders, follow my ahkamat. And when the human being reaches to that platform, then alhamdulillah, we should understand that that person has strengthened his connection with Allah. Strengthen. And this, every moment and second, we can analyze and recognize that, do I want to pass away from the world in this way, in an incomplete way, or do we want to improve ourselves? So my brothers, dhikr is a great action. And the reality of dhikr is that total obedience and fulfillment of the ahkams of Allah should come into our life. Totally. Every decision of life should be according to Sharia and Sunnah. Every decision. That is when dhikr is benefiting. I'm speaking from the reference of my Hazrat. And the Hazrat said, that is when your dhikr is beneficial. Otherwise your dhikr is a waste. It's totally a waste for you in the akhirah. This counting, etc., will not give any benefit. You can take hundreds of thousands of dhikr or adhkar or recitation, repetition. Nothing will be of use. Even salah will not be of use. So what will dhikr give? But only then will dhikr be of use to us. The Allah Ta'ala says, I gave you this car for a reason. And did you sit in this car and reach close to me so that you could be easy for you on the Day of Judgment? Allah says, in this ibadah of dhikr, I put a special quality that when a person starts to do this ibadah, this worship, then what happens? Alhamdulillah, then he is embarked on the journey to the supreme destination. Then whatever obstacles come on the way, hardships, and obviously problems do come in this path of Ati Allah and Ati Rasul, obedience to Allah and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tests come, challenges come. But Allah says, if you have istiqamat and steadfastness upon my ahkams, on my laws, and you are regular and steadfast, Allah says, then you have gone beyond the status and rank, and your relationship with me is now strong, then you can raise your hands and say, min kulli khair, and see all the khair I will give to you. Allah says, I will give to you. When a human being reaches to this platform, this rank, when we create the link with Allah in such a way, a strong way, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a special dua. But let's think, listen here clearly. Clearly, that when a human being comes to this maqam, that he says to Allah and he gets all khair, all goodness, then insan, the human being, has such a relationship with Allah that he forgets to ask Allah the minor things. Because Allah, I've asked everything from you. I don't need to turn to anybody else. I've attained everything from you. So then does a person feel like asking Allah for min kulli khair? When he has the supreme connection with Allah, he has attained Allah's nearness. So this hadith was to teach us, encourage us that look, this is how great your maqam is. When you get to this height, then your du'as won't remain. You won't feel that, what do I need to ask for? What do I need to get from Allah? You won't have that need, because your connection. So look here, my brothers, there are olders, youngsters, and middle-aged, and brothers and sisters. May Allah Ta'ala make our destination easy. We are off track and misguided. Let's not go towards wretchedness and loss. Allah has given us great karam. And all of the tests of the world world will come, my friends and my brothers, and restrictions will come. Hurdles will come which will try to restrict us to get close to Allah. But we need to have determination and courage. And the person who has determination, there was a statement of Hazrat Rahmatullah that I always note and remember. Hazrat used to say that have determination and then Rahmah will come. What a great statement. If we have determination and courage, then Allah's Rahmah will come. If we aren't determined, then Rahmah will not come. These are the words of Arif Billah, my Hazrat, my Shaykh, rahmatullahi, who understood the purpose of life. The purpose of life. Never will you see that they run after money and stacks of money. Rather, if he was to raise his hands, the result would be the same. The walis of Allah, the awliya Allah, if they were to raise their hands for dunya, they would get the result of what they're asking. But never will you see a fakir, a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, a shaykh, never will you see dunya at their feet. Never will you see them desperate for dunya or worried about dunya. What's the reason for this? That Allah Ta'ala, with His love, Allah Ta'ala instills His love into their hearts and they're mutma'in, they are satisfied and content on every decision of Allah. And they forget about asking Allah, give me this, Allah, give me that, khair, amin, kulli khair. This game finishes. These requests end. Then that person, the wali, the friend of Allah, he is supremely satisfied and content and he has such a link with Allah. For example, I would say to you that if you love somebody, and have affection for somebody, and have regard for somebody, and that person's in front of you, and you're in front of that person, alhamdulillah, then I'm talking about the true love between people. What is the heart of that person? He forgets everything, that what I have to say, what's the maqsad? He forgets about speaking, he's in front of his mahbub, and you know, I told you that couplet, and this is the reality, that when you are in front of the beloved, then you are lost in the relationship with the beloved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ashik. Imagine a person who loves Allah, who is close to Allah, and his remembrance with Allah is supreme, that he will forget about asking the things of the dunya. And this is not difficult. Look, the difficult thing Allah ta'ala has already made us do. It's not hard to get close to Allah, to find a silsila, to find a shaykh, and then to do the dhikr of Allah, and then to have love with the dhikr of Allah, and then to travel for the dhikr of Allah. This is the hardest thing to do, that millions and billions of people are not doing today. Allah ta'ala has given us this function already, and then we retire after that? We lose out of that? How sad for after today. Let's understand our destination is what? Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. That let's strengthen our relationship with Allah to such an extent and that we are obeying Allah and Rasulullah. But if we're not getting to this end point, then we are wasting our time waking up in the night, dhikr here, going there, doing dhikr, appearance, form, attire. All is a waste of time and a minus. We're not attaining nothing from this. So the most important thing here that we need to understand, Allah Ta'ala has told us here that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Allah Ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhimu salam to all of the people in the world and one same message came, La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, nothing else. Whose order will prevail needs to be adhered to? Allah's. Whose law needs to be adhered to? Allah. Whatever Allah Ta'ala says we need to do from morning till evening according to Allah's rules and principles. We shouldn't, all guidelines, advice, every breath we get from Allah, from the Supreme Creator, we have to run towards Sunnah and Sharia, that I am not going to make a decision unless I get guidance from Sunnah and Sharia. Very simple is the life of a man. Very simple does life become. And Allah Ta'ala gives sabr and patience and sukoon, the feeling of sukoon and sakina. But when we start to follow our own decisions and we seek ease, oh, the Allah Ta'ala's law here is a bit strict. Let's do this. Let me make my own formula or solution here, and things will become easy for us or for myself. And this is what we do. And this is hypocrisy and nifaq, that we ask from Allah, we recite Allah's kalima. Is it? But what are we doing? We are following our own desires and opinions. Oh, maybe this will become easy and then I'll be successful. Oh, if I sign like this, then this will happen. If I do this, oh, yar, if for example I speak honestly here or truthfully here, then I will lose out. And Allah Ta'ala says, no, what do you have to do on every turn of life? Speak honestly. And I say, if I have to be honest, then I'll be destroyed. Oh, let's do this. The accountant's saying this. Are we Muslims? And then we complain and we have issues. Tell me, is there a bigger hypocrisy than this? Who are we deceiving? Who are we deceiving that we're saying, Allah, Allah, and tahajjud, we do 10 tasbih, 15 tasbih. After every tasbih, our destination, we should be closer to Allah, that all haram should come out of our bodies and hands. Lying should come out. Fraud, deception, deceit. We make the appearance and then we come to dhikr. Otherwise, that person looks like he's immodest. I swear by Allah, can there be a greater immodesty than this? We don't even know how Allah is looking at us. I'll give you an example, that my car is standing outside. Okay? I'll give you an example. My car is parked outside and
We say, oh, let's put some scratches onto his car today. A person thinks this, a bad intention. And what will you look at first? Oh, is he looking at me? Is he looking at me? The owner of the car? Oh, no, no, he's upstairs in his room and he's locked away, or he's in his house, he's not watching. If we know that person's looking from the window, will you scratch the car? Will you disfigure the car? No, because the owner of the car is watching. We are such Muslims, we don't even believe that Allah is watching. We don't even believe. Look at our iman, our belief. That when we deceive and we count our money and hide and do haram, we lie and deceive and commit fraud, and we are deceiving the people of the world and lying and earning haram. Who are we hiding this from? Are we hiding this from you, me, this person? No, we are trying to deceive Allah who's watching. We are trying to deceive Allah who's watching. This is our iman. We are that weak, we don't even realize that Allah Ta'ala is watching us. We don't even realize that Allah Ta'ala is seeing, He's all hearing, seeing, right? When we start to commit a fraud, we should at least do this. That even this much nur hasn't come due to our dhikr, that we realize that Allah Ta'ala is watching. Is this the result of our dhikr? We don't even have nur of iman in our hearts that Allah is watching me. What will Allah say when He sees that I do this haram? So then straight away we should stop the haram. We shouldn't touch that money. We made a mistake. Okay, I earned money through a mistake. Oh, I throw this away to the side. He will be so under pressure when he's throwing away the £10,000 note. Allah Ta'ala says, raise your hands and I will accept your dua. And we have such a big desire to earn the hereafter, and this is our weak link with Allah. And we deceive ourselves that today whoever we look at, he's a wali Allah. And such walis of Allah and such silsalas we have in the dunya, that the person, he gets lost in the misguidance, I swear by Allah, in the world. Such kharafat and loss and wrong actions. And what is the game here? As I said to you earlier, do you understand my point? That people, what have they done? They have assigned their actions to shaitan. You understand what I'm trying to say? They have picked and selected from shaitan's advice. We consider that, oh, this is a great thing. For example, let's take maraqabah. Maraqabah, isme that, remembering Allah in the heart. And this is a great action, and shaitan has taken this out of our esteem. And the person who is away from the deen, has no akal, no shu'ur, no understanding, for hours he's speaking on maraqabah, on dhikr-e qalbi, and he's telling others, 5 minutes, we'll sit down, you see this light, and we'll show you this, our silsila is this, Naqshbandi, the name, and we'll do maraqbah, we'll see noor, and we'll see the light, and we'll float, etc. This, the 5,000 men, thousands of men and women, they'll become mad. The whole fragrance will come from here, we'll get dreams, and our worldly aspirations and desires will be fulfilled, and illnesses will go. An ajeeb angle has been presented. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, you know the magicians who were there? Similar way that this generation of shirk has come. The generation of shirk. So is this the purpose of doing dhikr? It's a very dry explanation what I'm trying to say. But I'm saying this so this is your taste. Otherwise who would listen to me and say, oh, what's he talking about? He's too strict. He's talking nonsense, etc. Astaghfirullah. And then he doesn't know what is dhikr. If you ask somebody that, have you put light into your heart? Subhanallah. They say, what light? What do we need to do? Have you done dhikr in your heart? Have you any of the murids seen light in the heart or felt nur? If somebody asks you, what are you doing? I do dhikr in my heart, dhikr in qalbi. Have you seen any light? They'll say, have you seen light and nur? And you think, huh? Light and nur? They'll say, the other people, that, oh, my murids or the students say, oh, we see light and nur on the first day. Oh, we saw red and crimson and purple. And you'll sit down and you'll think, is this the reason why I'm doing dhikr? Beware, dunya and shaitan, they try to deceive a man. This definition I've given to you. Yes, that this is against the today's generation. What is our real purpose, the objective of doing dhikr, and the program I've given to you, the syllabus is the real syllabus, the genuine syllabus. We may be weak, but understand your syllabus and the prescription that's been given to you, because shaitan could come at any time and try to take your treasure, whether I'm here or not. And remember this point. Remember this one. This is not the point that 40 years you could be with me and do dhikr. If I'm not there, then shaitan will grab you. Oh, what were you doing for 40 years? This is nothing. Look, hey, I'll take you to another place. Ah, Sheikh, he had a link with this person and he's Khalifa of this. And Bahuddin Naqshband, he comes in his dream. And Hazur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes in his dream. My teacher, come to him. He will teach you the beauty of the dunya. People come to this extent that Rasulullah has not come and he hasn't given me advice and guidance. Allahu Akbar. The other person says, come to my Sheikh. And Rasulullah came and Musa came and guided him. So, but remember this point and the words of this faqir, that you've taken my hand and I'll tell you the haq and the truth, that this is the haq and this is the truth. That if you turn away from this, you will go into the depths of Jahannam. If you go to the greed,
color and visions and miracles and dreams, create that maqam which has been told us by Rasulullah ﷺ, that raise your hands and take all of the khair and become like this. Allahumma inni asuluka min kulli khair. That all of the khair, all of the goodness we should attain. This Rasulullah ﷺ didn't say that, raise your hands and ask Allah for nur and light and material and benefit in this dunya. No, Rasulullah ﷺ said that all of the treasures that are hidden, all the khair that is hidden in the treasure chest of Allah, Allah says they will come into your lap. So do we need light and nur and visions and miracles, or do we need this? And what do we need to attain this? Atiullah and Atiur Rasul. That don't go towards haram. That even if the stomach, it cracks and is bleeding due to hunger, even if you have to go into a shack, into a shanty town. But remember, wherever you go, you're in a difficulty, a problem. Anywhere. Allah Ta'ala says, don't forget the haqq. Allah Ta'ala says, I will be with you everywhere as your assistant, as your guide, protector. If we go into deception, oh, this is a shortcut to success. Remember this, your dhikr will not remain, nor will you remain a dhakir, nor will you be nothing. And what will you be? Direct in with the shaitan, you'll be thrown into the hellfire. Direct. So when the generation of fasad comes, and the hadith regards to fasad and tribulations and trials and wrong, and this will increase to the extent of the time, the generation when Dajjal will come. And he will show miracles. He will kill a person and bring him back to life and show the moon and the stars that they beckon to his call. And everything will happen. But if we strengthen our iman, that's why I've spoke about destination, end point. If we don't even know what is our maqam, that what capabilities Allah has given to us, that you are so great, O insan. You are a great person. And if we are not practicing what we should be practicing, then what do we need to do? We need to increase our capacity and our capability and our ability. We are weak at this moment in time. What is the path? No. What is the path? Dhikr Allah. The dhikr of Allah is the path. And the destination is Allah, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Remember 3 points. Remember, capacity, capability, the path, and the destination. These are the 3 things we need. So we should have capacity first. We should have the recognition, then we have the path, and then the destination. So what is our capacity? Ahsani taqweem. What is our capability? That we are higher, the best of all of the ummahs. Why? Because we have the link with the master of the two worlds, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are his ghulam. We are following his way. We are his ummati. We believe in him. So this is number one. Our capacity that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And then to get to the destination, Allah Ta'ala has given us dhikr. Dhikr is the means, the tool that will allow us to go where to? Ati Allah wa Ati Rasul. Obedience to Allah and obedience to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the final prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with this last message, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So all of the other paths that are playing games, there are lies and fraud and a waste and deception. So do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, this is a very, very, very vital and essential message that I'm telling you today. And many people, they change track, they change the path, they go to another way. Oh, this shaykh has come, that shaykh has come. He showed this, his form was this, the miracles and visions. Yes, you're speaking fine. And a person goes down spiritually and his heart will say, oh, let's go and sit with him for a while and you'll feel enjoyment. Because here we have dry words, isn't it? And my discussion is dry, straightforward, seems a bit firm and strict. There you'll see thousands of naats, nasheeds and food and lust and desires. And there'll be people dancing and enjoying and everyone will get lost. There'll be qawwali and musical instruments, ishqe rasul, so-called vision and miracles, all a waste. The best taste comes from what? Dhikr Allah, the proper dhikr of Allah. Why? Because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that your every grain and atom and molecule, everything melts when the dhikr of Allah is done and performed. Everything melts. And if this feeling is not happening, then we need to revive our capacity. Am I eating haram? Am I making a mistake? Am I doing wrong? What unlawful actions am I doing? We have the capability. We have the capacity. But we've suppressed this. We have hidden this. We've cancelled this. So dhikr of Allah, my brothers, we need to do this ibadah with tariqah, with the method. Don't think that, oh, we have a system, we're just doing dhikr, and we're not utilizing our time positively, I'm not gaining nothing. No, don't waste your time with these negative thoughts. Think, every morning and evening, analyze, how much haram have I left? How much do I dislike haram now? And this is reality, how much have I sacrificed for goodness? How much have I sacrificed my desires and my passions of doing wrong to come towards the good? For example, I know I took this money from haram. And you have a doubt in your heart that you don't need to go to any mufti. I swear by Allah, the dhikr of Allah will make your heart a mufti.
Allah Ta'ala has prepared such that such a generation will come that the trust from scholars will be raised and lifted. Why? Because you have a belief and a conviction, and he gives a different fatwa. He says, oh, interest is haram. If you go onto the internet and search for answers to Muslim masail, you'll get 10,000 different answers. 10,000 different decisions. And with regards to dhikr, look at the game that's being played today. Every alim has his own opinion. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepared this ummah that such a day and age will come that I prepare you for that time. That when you do dhikr of Allah with abundance and high quantity, your heart will become a mufti. And then present your file to your mufti, your heart. And it will start to tell you what's right and wrong. Your heart will shut and shake. You'll try to suppress. No, 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 I can do it. It's okay. But your heart will keep on telling you that there's a problem here. There's a game here. And when the game, when the heart is knocking, and it says, you're doing wrong here, this is haram, then you can say, I don't need any mufti. My heart is the mufti and is guiding me. I'm doing haram, I'm doing wrong. And nafs and shaitan guide us first. The deen is not that strict. It's not that hard. It's okay, you can do this. Oh, look at the generation living in. How will you progress and be promoted if I don't do this? How will I get success, etc.? Then we will lose out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law, when we start to think in front of Allah like this, we make this apparent, then that person's a mushrik who says, oh, what will happen? How will I live and eat and prosper and be recognized in the world if I have to follow these the framework of Allah? And the person who thinks like this, then nifaq has come into his or her life and he has to do tawbah and repent to Allah for these bad thoughts. And if a person really understands this, and says this, oh, I'm living in this day and age society, okay, fair enough, I'll have to follow people. And what does the Quran say in opposition to this? What does the Kitab of Allah say? What does Allah Ta'ala's Nabi say? And what are we saying? What is our opinion? Oh, no, 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 I can't live like this. I'll have to do the unlawful actions. I'll do wrong. And we'll see what happens after everyone else is doing this. I'll do this. So who are we deciding against? Allah Ta'ala's Kitab. This is shirk. This is shirk. And a person will rise as a mushrik. Doesn't matter how much Allah he prays, how many tawaf he does, but Allah Ta'ala's principles and Allah Ta'ala's kitab that has established the principles, that is what will decide. So the first waswasa that comes, the first whisper of shaitan and nafs comes, shaitan whispers into our ears and as a result our hearts. We have to live in this day and age when society is too hard to follow Islam. These regulations are too hard. Of course we know that the regulations are hard, because after asr comes yusr. After every hardship comes ease. Who says that it's just easy and easy and easy? If we want to attain Allah's nearness, then we have to follow Allah's orders and principles. If this was not the case, then why would Allah manufacture this earth? Isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says he could have made us mu'mins and given us Jannah here on earth and all the rewards. Okay, you've believed in me, you're doing dhikr, what do you want now? Here, Allah give us the rivers of milk and honey and all of the rewards of paradise. Allah says, that's easy. I can give that to you. But when will this occur? When we follow the guidelines and the framework. Dhikr will show us the destination. So first we need capacity, capability. Then we embark on that path of dhikr of Allah. And dhikr of Allah will show us the destination. We need determination and courage and sacrifice. Nobody or sheikh will ask, nor do we need to explain or tell. Look, when the sheikh comes, you have a link, you have made a link with me, and mashallah, we have a spiritual relationship. We don't have a personal relationship, nor do I have that need, or nor do you have that need. You have a link with Allah. And you can understand or say, for example, I'm your friend and your guide. Now I'm guiding you, assisting you, helping you, us believing, not believing, hiding from me, explaining. There's no link with me on these things. Nothing to do with me. What you're doing, what you're not doing, etc. These actions have no link with me. This, for example, I won't say this to you that is a favor upon me or my favor on you, but you're getting automatic tuition and guidance and help and assistance, and Allah Ta'ala's fadl becomes on a person and he accepts it, he'll get full marks in the examination. In the akhirah. So this is not the reason that I am unhappy with somebody, or I'm criticizing somebody, or looking at somebody's family, or criticizing, you're wrong, you're doing wrong. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayh. Not to me. That's not my objective. Nor will I ask for the forgiveness. Nor do I have a link for this. This is the link that Allah has given to me. He can give me 1,000, 5,000. The same words will emanate from what I'm saying or not. So don't think that he's telling me, he's pointing at me, criticizing me. Never think like this. What should we think? This is a big misconception. This is a sin of kina. where a person has suspicion, oh, Hazrat's thinking about me and he's speaking against me. I don't know anybody's personal life, nor do I interfere. Or if I put my hand in, what do you do? What's your business? What do you do? What do you do? How much money do you have? What's your bank balance? What do you do? Why do you do this wrong? I have no interference with this. For example, the person who comes to pick me up and brings me in the car, how much do I speak with him on the way? What do I know? What is his job? What's his work? What he does? What he doesn't do? We just come in the car, we come here, and do we speak? Very seldom. I have no association with a business, with a pastime. Alhamdulillah, this is Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam, that we are getting a guideline. We are getting advice, a path. And you, the people who have to have determination and courage. And if you have determination today, you will reach to paradise tomorrow. And if you don't, then that's your choice. You can carry on sitting down. But this is the point. No, I've lost out of my dunya. I can't work like this anymore, etc. My husband will ask me on the day of judgment, did you implement the actions that I gave to you? And I gave you the permission to go and give guidance and hidayah to people. I sent you for this reason. And I'll say, Hazrat, yes, I fulfilled that function. Hazrat will say, that's fine. That's fine. You fulfill the haq and the rights that were due. So the right deen that I asked my sheikh, otherwise I could say as well, oh look, all these different colors and different ways and paths and methods. Why don't you go to these places? But no. So if I said to you, don't leave unlawful actions. Did you see kashf and miracles and dreams? Has anything come in your dream or in your heart? Have I asked any one of my students this until today? And if I ask this, and if it does, then the strictness will come, the scoldness will come that time. But if someone comes and says, Hazrat, I took so much thousand in interest and I've thrown all of that interest away, subhanAllah, then the hands will raise for the dua. Alhamdulillah, raise this person's rank and his status. Which is a great action, isn't it? That he comes himself and says, Hazrat, I used to do haram. All my life, I earned haram, I did unlawful actions, I earned money. After listening to you, I understood my nasiha, and I changed my life, my track. This is all haram. I need to leave this, so I throw this away. I throw this away. So I said, this is the point, isn't it? So this is kashf better? Or is this better? A person who leaves unlawful things and comes towards the right path. So a person who has determination and courage like this, he should consider his dhikr is very high rank. So we are on the path. We're on the path. We have the transportation. So now we need to see who gets the destination and who doesn't. And this is your attempt and trying. Why? Because I won't say this is rahmah. If we try, then Allah Ta'ala's rahmah will come. If we try, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah will come at that time when we get up and we try. No, ya Rab, after today I will not earn or take 1p with haram. And after that we do umrah and hajj with halal. Then also give to others and benefit yourself with halal. That tawaf will be different and unique. Don't we see this? Understand this? So this is the life we should live. Pure and clean. Life is temporary. From today we make niyyah and intention. Allah, we will make effort for our manzil today, that you've given us this path of dhikr. And this path of dhikr will take us to your nearness and your obedience. May not be that we come off track on the way and we die and we cannot attain that destination. Allah, give us such a maqam. Allah, just like your Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, that we raise our hands and say, Allah, that Allah give us all of the khair from your treasure chest. And Allah says, you asked me and I said that open your lap and I'll give all of the things and the khair that you need. Look at the link and the connection with Allah. Such a great link. No king can even say this. That Allah, no king in this world will say, take all of my kingdoms and all of my goods. All of my time. Imagine how Allah loves the mu'mins. And we're still running around like tramps. After 5 rupees, 100 rupees to save. So much we are running around left and left with fraud and lies and deceit. The whole ummah today is overwhelmed ummah. We've changed our parents, we've sold our iman. Total all countries, populations, we've changed the Quran, we've changed Sharia. And our condition, our appearance and everything we have annulled because we want to attain dunya, dunya, dunya. And Allah Ta'ala says, for the sake of dunya, what should you do? Allah says, come to me, close to me and I'll give you all of the dunya. You are so great and your rank is so high. Look at our rank and look at our dalala today. Dalala, that we are worse than the dogs and the spiders in the way we run after the dunya. And that ummah who has Quran in its hand and has the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have this guidance, then imagine what our maqam should be, our status should be. But we don't benefit. The Allah Ta'ala has given us the path and we can come so close to Allah very quickly. There are certain people who are not on the path, they don't know about dhikr or a shaykh or Naqshbandi, and they criticize these things, astaghfirullah. And Allah Ta'ala saved us from all of the fitna, and Allah Ta'ala has taken us out of a massive difficulty and put us on this path. The rest is our courage and determination. If we make our life halal and pure, may Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you all the tawfiq. Ameen.